big busts.
With the first pick, the Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell, LSU.
And high-value picks.
With the 262nd pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Brock Purdy, a quarterback from Iowa State.
This is a Draft Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Get $2,000 off a new energy-efficient system now through May 31st. Call or visit aeheatingandcooling.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080. The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Happy Monday to you. Hope you guys had a great weekend.
Yeah, I did.
We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. All sorts of stuffs in my notes.
Yeah, I almost got derailed. I was going to get to something NFL draft related at 7, and then I told you Steph Curry's a top 5 player of all time, and that derailed things.
We got sidetracked. Don't worry. Don't worry. We'll get to the NFL draft. But before we do, guess what we got?
What do we got? We got breaking news. Blazers got the number one pick.
Big time breaking news. That technically can't happen for another handful of days. The lottery's not until May 12th, so we cannot get the number one pick yet.
Anthony Simons, Shaedon Sharpe, Tumani Cooper, Klingon. Need it now. Denny, six man.
Well, it's funny you mention that because this is the breaking news today. It's Bay. Everybody's been waiting. Is he going to? I don't know if he will or not. We're waiting in the lurch. Will it be announced? Will it happen? I don't know. Cooper Flagg is officially declared for the NBA draft.
That's crazy.
I mean, I just can't. I can't believe it.
Stunning.
I can't believe it.
He was really considering going back.
I'm shocked.
Hooray!
He was constantly thought about it. He heard a segment on a local radio show, the 19th ranked mid-market radio show in Portland about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And they asked the question out loud, would you really want to play for the Washington Wizards? And he heard that segment and thought, you know what, maybe I do want to come back for another year. And he's been thinking long and hard about it. But after, you know, a day of he has risen and smoking weed, he came to the conclusion out of 420 in Easter.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I'm going to go to the NBA draft.
Yeah, I mean, look, him and his teammates are going. Knipple announced it last week. He announced it today.
Future Blazer Con Knipple.
Oh, it's going to be Future Blazer Cooper Flagg because we're winning the lottery.
It's right, we are.
It's exactly our time to win the lottery. And then when we win the lottery, we'll talk ourselves into Ace Bailey because we talk ourselves into the worser of the player options. That's our track record.
Hey, man, Thompson looked pretty good last night, but I digress. What spot on May 12th are we most depressed by?
I mean,
taking us out of the run. Obviously, that's the one we're rooting for.
Right where. Well, if they lose the coin flip or no, give me a yes or no.
I mean, we're gonna lose the coin flip.
We don't have a good track record in the coin flip.
We don't have a good coin flip.
If you tell me it's
record.
9th or 10th and they finish exactly there,
yeah,
that.
No, I'm not asking that. I'm asking on the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes. What number one pick are we most depressed by? Like the team winning the lottery.
The Spurs.
The Spurs? That's the most depressing for you?
Yeah.
Well, what's your...
Because that's one more...
You can use whatever criteria you want.
That's one more team now in the Western
So you're going
Conference.
Him teaming up with Wembanyama.
Yeah.
And a new future power
well,
in the
terrifying.
West.
Terrifying. I don't know if that's depressing. Depressing to me is
well, it
like,
basically tells you for the next 10 years, you're probably not going to catch San Antonio.
Oh, you're gone. You might as well bow down to him
at
now.
At that point, do we restart the tank if Cooper Flagg goes to San Antonio?
Exactly.
Also, remember when we were fighting with San Antonio for seeding and we could have caught him, but then we won a bunch of meaningless games, and that
but
ends
then
up being the number one overall pick?
Remember when we beat Atlanta by 20?
I do, yeah.
And then we chose to lose against
then
Chicago the next game?
Started tanking.
And then we almost beat Utah, but Tumani missed a layup, but then we decided to lose in overtime.
We did, then we sat our guys
our tank, no tank thing was not very well thought out.
It's very strange. San Antonio is not a bad pick for multiple reasons. One, it could have been your pick, and him and Wembanyama is terrifying.
Well, that's a good point. It could have been your pick, and that, I guess, that point is valid. I find him and Wemby terrifying with Fox. But when you say depressing,
I'm thinking
good player on a team where I'm like, ugh. And I think New Orleans.
New Orleans.
They're badly run.
They are.
That ownership group blows. So, yeah, you could say Washington. I actually think Washington would be a fun watch with him. Charlotte. You could say Charlotte. They've also been not really well run.
Irrelevant for 20 years.
But if they keep LaMelo and he can stay on the court, that's kind of fun. New Orleans, there's nothing exciting about New Orleans. They have bad facilities. It's not an NBA market. Their ownership sucks. I don't know. I think it's New Orleans for me.
Okay.
And I don't want to see them with another number one pick. That's just like, why?
To get Zion and Cooper Flagg in the matter of like 6 years would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quit ruining Duke players' careers, New Orleans.
I don't know, man. May 12th is a really fun date.
It's upon us. It's almost here.
Like, that is to
right
me.
Right around the corner.
What time? That usually starts at like 4, right?
They before the playoff game. Right before the playoff game that goes at 4:30 or whatever. Right.
Probably starts at 5, so I'm sure the lottery would be at 4:30.
That is just going to be such must-see television for us.
When is our coin flip taking place? Do we know that?
I think it happens
it's this week.
Is it this week?
We get the coin flip, so we'll know this week whether we're the ninth or the tenth worst odds.
You got to order those ping pong balls with the logos.
You got to get your balls ready to go. Wash those balls.
Now, what is the thought or takeaway? Because I think we know what ours will be.
If we win the lottery, I'm shrieking in my neighborhood. I'm crying. I'm
going to laugh, too, when people are like, told you dirt. And you're like, I'm not partaking in this conversation. We got the number one pick. I'm happy.
I'm happy. I despite what my angry pants will tell you, want the organization to be relevant and interesting, to give me something to talk about on the airwaves. And
dirt
I've been a fan my entire life.
That was
I will
whole
be elated.
Point all season long was, why aren't you giving yourself the best odds for this?
Yes, for Cooper Flagg, who seems like a generational talent.
Miracles came true.
Now, what if they finish 11th?
I mean,
if we get to 12 and the 11 and the Portland Trailblazers is like...
I think you're laughing
at that point.
Because we're just dead inside. We're just dead inside, and I don't really feel pain anymore.
Well, of course. Of course that's what happened.
I've reached that point where you can't hurt me anymore.
The tank, no tank, this is what you get. This is what you deserve.
There's a lot of that, if that's what it ends up being.
Well, I got wind that...
But if you're just ninth, you're depressed.
I got wind of some good news. Right?
We could use some.
There's a certain Portland Trailblazer.
Oh.
That's hurt our takes on the team. And when he resigns his contract, he's going to have the last laugh.
Look, he's already got the last laugh because he's making a lot of money.
Well, I already said they're going to resign him.
It's going to happen.
They made it abundantly clear at that press conference.
It's going to happen. Thanks for listening, though. I appreciate it.
I do actually. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you.
Now, if I see him in person, he goes, "Hey, why'd you want to trade me?" I'm like, "Well, I mean, the team drafted a point guard, buddy. What do you want me to do?
Back-to-back top 10 picks with guards taken. It just doesn't make sense to keep you around. It's nothing against you. You're a good player. It just doesn't fit.
You deserve better than this, Ant.
It's not you. It's me.
I didn't name names, Swag.
Yeah. Way to go, Swag.
You're filling in blanks.
God, come on, man.
I didn't name names.
Could have been anybody. Could have been any other guard.
Could have been Aiden.
Could have been Bryce McGowan's, for all we know.
DeAndre.
It could have been DeAndre.
Big DA, as they call him in the streets of West Lynn on those hills.
Definitely not listening to sports radio.
Do you think DeAndre Ayton listens to?
Music? A combination of... Because isn't he from a Pacific?
He's from Arizona. Didn't he go to Arizona high school and then he went to Arizona University?
Yeah.
Oh, did he? He's always lived in Arizona?
Always lived down there.
Why do I have him as like a Dominican Republic kind of kid? I don't know. Why? Not born there? Not even close. Okay. I don't know.
It's NBA dirt.
I'm going to laugh if it's right.
Doesn't he play for the Bahamas? He was born in the Bahamas.
Yeah, but where did he grow up? I thought that's
what he might have been born there.
Oh, I don't. That's why I was saying the Pacific.
But
why are you getting mad at me? I was born in
Texas.
Because
that was not that crazy to say. He was born on an island.
But
in
the Bahamas. You were asking where he grew up.
No, I mean,
I asked if he went to high school in Arizona.
Because I remember him playing in the Olympics for the Bahamas.
Yeah, Carl Anthony Towns plays for Puerto Rico.
He moved from the Bahamas to San Diego to play high school basketball.
Now, we were close.
So he lived in the Bahamas his entire early life. Wasn't born and raised in Arizona at all.
We were close.
Now you're getting eaten by the tuna. We've developed a breathing apparatus.
Why are you looking at me?
This is completely flipped on you. Riggins, care to comment?
Yeah,
Riggins?
This is a Riggins problem.
Are you just going to turn your mic off the rest of the segment because we got to go to break?
He's going to do the break thing now. He's
pretend that that wasn't just a thing? Not even close. Not even close. He lived in the Bahamas his entire life until high school. Riggins.
You idiot.
Where you at on that one? Bastard.
I didn't partake in this
couch. He didn't at all. So to answer your original question, my first thing was going to be, I bet he likes reggae music because I knew he was from an island.
Does everybody that like reggae music smoke weed?
I think so.
Is that a fair assumption?
I think that's a very fair assumption.
Okay.
Very fair assumption.
It'd be funny to find somebody that loves reggae.
Stereotypes born out of...
Well, I mean, one love. You know, come on.
It's good, especially with the weather being like this.
San Diego, Arizona, pretty close.
It's relative. I mean, it is.
You could drive there.
You can drive.
I mean, come on. They're neighbors.
That was so good. NBA Dirt strikes again. What can I say?
Touche.
NBA Dirt.
We got to give you that one.
Here to stay.
I don't know if I agree with all your NBA
Wait
takes.
Till the Nuggies show up in the conference finals and the Cavs get blown out by Miami in game two. It's coming.
Oh, you have the Nuggets beating the Thunder?
I don't know. We'll see. Give me time.
The Thunder just won by 54.
I mean, they play a real team, okay? You played a G League team, for heaven's sakes, all right?
We'll see if the Nuggets beat the Clippers.
Play a team that doesn't even have a head coach. Who's coaching the Nuggets? Who's coaching the Grizzlies? I can't even tell you, all right? Play a real team. Let's get to it. It's here. It's here, everybody. And a fun fact about it being here. Talk about that next on The Fam. All right, welcome back in. NBA Dirt and Sprague here with you. It is also upon us. We were just talking in the last segment about the NBA lottery, which we'll find out here relatively soon.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of weeks away. Well, we don't have to wait a couple of weeks anymore for the NFL draft. The frozen tundra.
Well, it's not frozen right
It's now. Not currently frozen, but it'd be really cool if they froze it for the draft, just so it was still the frozen tundra. It's on Thursday. And did you know, fun fact for you, Bob, that this is now the closest we have been to the start of the NFL draft in the common draft era in which there have been no trades of a first-round pick. The last time we got this close without a trade was ultimately broken 4 days before the draft, and that was in 1993. And the trade, pretty big one, ended up being Joe Montana going to Kansas City, which included a first-round pick. That was the last time we came this close to the beginning of a draft.
Who did the Niners take with that first-round pick?
That's a great trivia question. I don't know. You'd have to go look that up. 1993, who they took with Kansas City's first-round pick. That was the last time we made it this close. So we are now 3 days away from the beginning of the the NFL draft, and there has still not been a first-round pick traded. There was one juicy rumor out there over the weekend. When you look at the top five, and it was essentially that if New England is on the clock, which what they're picking fourth overall, I believe New England is. I think they're number four on the clock.
Mm-hmm, they are four.
So when they're on the clock, if Abdul Carter has not gone yet.
Wow. Good player.
Who'd they take?
Who's your guess?
1993 NFL draft.
93 NFL draft. I don't believe this has a good ending to the story of this player, but one of my favorites when I watched him play growing up.
Ricky Waters?
No, he's
no.
Okay. He's fine. And bad ending.
Bad ending. Oh, Dana Stubblefield?
You'd be correct.
Yeah. Not a good ending there. Not good.
Really loved him, though.
I digress. He was great. I loved great.
Stubblefield
was. I loved his helmet, the whole mystique around him. He was a 1990s defensive 26th lineman.
26th overall.
The juicy rumor was, if New England's on the clock and Abdul Carter's there, that Philly is going to try and make a move for number four with A.J. Brown going to New England and taking Abdul Carter.
Will he still read his book in New England, or is that going
to
go away?
Will he still be in a moment of zen in New England? I don't know the answer to that. But in Philly,
I think the book goes with him.
Philly is desperate.
Is that a move
for
you do if you're New England? Because I don't know if I'm doing that. I don't know if I want to give my young quarterback. He's a good player. Do I want A.J. Brown in my locker room?
I don't know.
I know Vrabel and him have a history.
They have a history.
Tennessee.
They were close together in Tennessee, and the thought is, we got a young quarterback. Who's your number one weapon? The kid out of Washington was a massive disappointment as a rookie.
So you're going to pass on one of the few? Because, by the way, this draft is largely considered a bad draft.
Yes, it is.
Schefter's NFL draft, like, big piece, where he just goes through all these teams and scenarios, and one of them is that the NFL... almost consensus feels that the talent at 10 is no different than the talent at 32.
Yeah.
And that's why you're not seeing a lot of trades. It's like, why would you trade up?
Not a lot of people are incentivized to do that.
Now, I push back on some of this rhetoric. Like, the idea that this draft blows and there's not going to be players from it, it's just ridiculous. You're going to get some really good players out of this draft. We might have a running back in the top 10. But if I'm New England, I guess I don't see the appeal of doing that. I'm going to bypass... maybe a great pass rusher, a very important spot on your team. We just watched that Eagles team you speak of.
Don't let
win
him get
the
Abdul
Super Bowl.
Carter. Don't let him get another defensive lineman.
I'm gonna give that up so I can take A.J. Brown, who might get super pissed off because he gets one catch for 18 yards. I don't know what the appeal of that is.
Yeah, I mean, the appeal is, I agree with you. I wouldn't make that trade if I were them either. I would listen to maybe other wide receivers. It's not that I don't think A.J. Brown is good. I just don't know chemistry-wise if that's the perfect fit for a young quarterback early in his career. I would listen to it for other wide receivers because I think you would ask the question, what is going to be more impactful for your second, third, and fourth year quarterback in the next 3 years. Abdul Carter might impact winning and losing games more, which is your ultimate goal as a franchise. Who's going to help your quarterback ease into it and develop a little bit more? I think having a true number one weapon will be massive for them. When was the last time New England had an elite wide receiver? Been a minute for him. I mean, it's been a long time.
I tell you what, I would do. I'd trade T. Higgins for that pick.
Yeah, if I'm Cincinnati, I'd contemplate that.
And also, if I'm New England,
especially if you're losing, because Hendrickson is still out there flapping in the breeze. So without that deal getting done, you trade one of your wide receivers, so you're just locked up to a contract. You go get Abdul Carter. If he's there at four, that makes sense for both sides.
And I can understand the kind of counter to that is like you'd give up, you wouldn't do A.J. Brown, but you do T. Higgins, who's been hurt, and he's on it right now, a franchise tag. Well, the assumption would be you'd sign him to a contract. But
Higgins got his deal.
Oh, that's
him and Chase both got their deals.
That's right. Okay.
They both got massive paydays.
Hendrickson's still waiting.
Hendrickson's the one that has not signed his deal.
Okay, so he's under contract. They're not going to do that, but like I would consider that if I was a Cincinnati.
Yeah.
That would help your defensive line. But again, if I'm New England, like what's worth trading out of that pick if it means Abdul Carter's falling to you? And this kind of brings up, I think this is going to be the biggest thing for me. Cleveland, it sounds like, is going to go Hunter. And I'm never going to understand that until I see him become like an all pro. Who decides games? I'm just never going to understand that with your quarterback situation.
Yeah, we always acknowledge when we're wrong. That's when you put your hand up if it ends up happening down the road, but I'm with you.
The Giants is just crazy fascinating.
The pivot of where that draft goes will be decided at number three. What the Giants do they take a quarterback? Do they not take a quarterback? Do they trade out?
It's Shador. It's no quarterback. They have done the most research, bar none, of any team on Shador Sanders. They were at every single Colorado game last year. The staffer of Colorado is the sister of Darius Slayton. People jokingly talk about Joe Shane having an apartment in Boulder for how much he is there. They just brought him in for a workout last week. But it's internally, according to Schefter, there's some split that they're not sold, that he's a franchise guy. And I totally see people's points of why you don't take him at number three and he's not good enough, what his weaknesses are, he takes bad sacks, all of that. I totally get it. I just don't get what you're doing if you're Joe Shane and Daboll, because your quarterback spot sucks.
The weirdest thing about this is that I don't know what the long-term commitment is to the coach and the general manager, which makes the decision-making of this draft fascinating.
If he wins six games and Shador is good,
you keep everybody around.
They're going to keep their jobs. If they win six games and they look exactly how we think they will
and he struggles,
Jameis and Russ, they're fired.
They're fired. But if you're, it's just weird to me to allow an organization. Chicago just went through this, and we said it at the time last year. Them deciding to keep their head coach, you have the number one overall pick, you're taking a quarterback. We know it's going to be Caleb Williams. It felt like the perfect time for a restart. It felt like the time of Caleb's our guy. Let's go get an offensive mind. Ben Johnson was there a year ago. You could have hired him.
Sorry, Eberflus. Not fair.
Sorry. Not fair to you, but it's just this is the time we're going to hit the reset button. I would argue they should have done it with coach and GM, but the GM had the number one overall pick, so they weren't going to do that last year. And then where were they a year later? Not even all the way through the season. It's okay, Eberflus, you're out. Now we got to go find a new coach. Let's learn a new system. Let's put our quarterback through the ringer going into a second year in the NFL. That's what that has written all over it for me. Even if they take Shador at number three, I don't see them. That's a pretty tough division. Washington's going nowhere. Philly just won the damn Super Bowl. And if the Cowboys, if they stay healthy, we know who the Cowboys are going to be. They're an above 500 team. That's not too easy wins on your schedule. You're probably going to finish in last place in your division. That tells me that your coach and general manager are likely going to get fired, which then again begs the question, you have the number three overall pick in the draft. Why didn't you just hit the reset button this offseason? Well, I don't understand.
So the other part of that is, do you really just let Abdul Carter go to number four? Because people seem to be pretty confident he's going to be an impactful player.
If you draft Abdul Carter, I think it's probably the best player in the draft, but your coach and your general manager will likely get fired.
But see, this is kind of my point is I don't think that if Shador is good and hits, I don't think they are going to win that many games in that division. The Cowboys are a question mark because I think we forget Schottenheimer's the coach.
That's true.
That actually is a thing.
That is a thing.
Daniels and Washington are riding high, and the Eagles just won the Super Bowl. But if Shador is like 65% completion percentage, 3,100 yards, 20 TDs, 8 picks, you're feeling okay about feeling good about that. And it's like, okay, look, we built this. Maybe defensively we took this little step. There's an argument to be made, okay, we keep our jobs. And now you build, and you got to take the next step. Whereas if you don't do it with a young quarterback, eh.
I know.
And I totally get, like, you should have made the move if you're going to make the move, but they didn't make the move.
A lot of good quarterbacks available last season, too. They could have had the
They reportedly tried to move up, and they couldn't move up.
You could have had Penix. Could have had Bo.
Could have had Bo Nix. Yeah. And they brought him in for a workout.
Yeah,
so.
Atlanta's feeling pretty good about their future at that position.
You know, I guess I don't. Where I'm landing is, I think Shador's going to be a good quarterback, and I totally see the warts of it. I don't understand fundamentally what the Giants are doing if they don't draft a quarterback.
Yeah,
I would be looking out for my job. Would you?
Yeah, you absolutely would. And if you're looking out for your job, the thing that you would try and argue to ownership and the front office is that you take Shador Sanders and say, "See, this is where we're going to build.
This is our direction.
Now we got our guy.
This is their first quarterback.
This is our first quarterback drafted. Yeah. Daniel Jones was. They gave him the extension. They didn't draft Daniel Jones. They gave him the extension." But this is the first time that we're sinking our teeth into a young quarterback, and this is going to be the future. That's their whole argument.
It's job preservation, man. Like,
but
how
if
do you
they
not
go,
do that?
If they win four games next year, is that enough to keep your jobs? And if not, then you're making a rookie quarterback start over with a new coach and GM going into the second year of
his
career.
They scouted him the most.
They're there constantly. I do have a couple of the NFL draft is this week. If you can't tell, very excited to talk NFL football. It's great to have you back in my life, NFL. I've missed you dearly. A couple more thoughts on this, including a ranking of the rookie class coming in, the guys who are going to get drafted, that is interesting where they put the quarterbacks from a guy who's well-respected in terms of this kind of thing. So we'll get to that coming up next. We'll get you set for the night in sports. A little cup check. I do a quick cup check in the final 30 minutes. Lots still to get to. Well, I thought this was interesting. Look, it's all an inaccurate science. Nobody knows how this is going to turn out. We do the best we can, right? Jeff Legwold has been working for ESPN for a long time.
Yeah.
And every year he puts together a ranking of, not based on positional thing, not based on a mock draft, just best player.
Uh-huh.
Best player according to, you know, he dives into all sorts of different numbers, talks to scouts, talks to coaches.
It's just talent. There's no
just
value.
Overall
just
talent. Yeah. Overall talent, where do you rank? Who are the top 100 players? If you're wondering, a couple of interesting notes, the highest ranked local product is easily Derek Harmon. He has him at 16th
and then
over
Connerly.
On this draft. Connerly's not until 40, so he's got him outside of the top 30 or so players.
But he's second, right?
He is second. Yeah. Then it's Connerly, and then I didn't go all the way down to the bottom because the point that I wanted to bring up on this is here, according to him, are his top five most talented players in the NFL draft. Travis Hunter is number one. Abdul Carter is number two. Hmm. Ashton Jeanty is number three. Tyler Warren, of course, from Penn State, number four. Mm-hmm. And number five is Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle at Ole Miss. Those are, according to him, his five most talented players in the NFL draft, which makes what makes this draft so interesting to me, and it does really in any draft, we mainly care about the quarterback position. Who are the quarterbacks? Where are they going to go? Did a team find their franchise guy? We just got done talking about the Giants. What are they going to do with three? Is Shador there? Does he slip? Does he fall? Are the Steelers going to take Jackson Dart, right? We largely care about the quarterbacks. Just evaluating the overall talent in this draft, where do you think Cam Ward comes in?
Cam Ward.
15th?
20th?
Close. He was 18th.
All right.
18th most talented player in the draft. You got to go a little bit further down to find Shador Sanders, who falls, according to this ranking. Now, again, it's not everything. Who the hell knows? 32nd most talented player in the draft.
I mean, we could do this. Honestly, we could do this every year. We could have done it last year. There were how many quarterbacks went in the first round?
Six?
Five or six.
I want to say.
Right? Well, there was a record. There's never been four in a round in the first round, at least.
No, but they were all in like the top 11, weren't they?
Like,
I mean, it was basically
in the top 12 or something like that.
So, like, but those weren't the top five, six players.
Going into the draft, no. Caleb would have been. Daniels probably would have been. Outside of that, I think everybody else would have fallen a little bit down the pecking order of a list like this.
The scarcity of that position.
It's just insane how many positions there are in that sport. And because we all know the importance of the one, that one takes precedent even when it's not the most talented.
Yeah, you had six taken in the first round. All of the six were taken in the first 12 picks of the draft. Bo was the last one at number 12 overall. Yeah, six of the first 12 picks were quarterbacks.
Carter could absolutely hit. That would be a nasty little defensive line with him, Burns, Thibodeau, if he can get back to his former self. Like, that's a nice defensive front. But if Russell Wilson falls off even just a little bit, home run Red Sox, they're not going to win. And it's going to be bad to watch.
No.
So it's like, I know it's not the most interesting to everybody. I'm not even a Giant fan. And I just keep coming back to these articles, these they're split and the GM basically lives in Boulder. And I'm just like, yo, man, if my job's on the line, yeah, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
What do I care at this point?
Yeah, I mean, you got to take one last flyer, right? I feel that way about Cleveland at number two and the way they're talking about Travis Hunter.
I don't understand anything Cleveland's doing.
No.
They don't have a quarterback.
They don't have a quarterback.
Joe Flacco
is their answer. Likely going to be the answer this year.
Are they
going
to survive that?
I mean, should they? I don't think so, but they probably... Stefanski
the owner
is
came out and took blame for Deshaun. So, like, that kind of takes him off the hook for that.
Stefanski is a respected head coach, and you want to be fair to these guys when they don't have a quarterback. There's just not much you could do as a coach at any level, let alone the National Football League.
Right.
And it's not his fault. He's not in charge of personnel decisions. It's not his fault that Deshaun Watson has sucked. And he's had a year where Joe Flacco led him to a playoff game, right? And he won a playoff game with Baker Mayfield. So he's gotten more out of everything else than some other coaches would across the league.
But then he didn't want Baker back.
But he didn't want Baker back. That was part of the problem. And you decided to not re-sign him. And then he went on to he's doing pretty damn good in Tampa right now. And it's Thursday to me is going to be awesome. I'm this way every year with the draft. Outside of the first round, I just don't care. Call me on Sunday. Let me know where the other guys went that I'm interested in, the other local products. You know, where does Tez go? You know, that's really the only thing I care about. Thursday's first hour or so is going to be fascinating. Could just hold chalk. Could go Cleveland takes Hunter at two like we all think they will. Giants take Shador Sanders, and then the rest kind of follows suit from there. But if not, like if you get a random pick at Cleveland, they take Shador or they take somebody else at two.
They go Dart.
Take Dart. You just get a curveball at it right out of the gate. The rest of the first round is going to be fascinating because at least last year going in, you knew Caleb was one. We all basically knew Daniels was going two and then assumed that Drake May would be number three. New England was holding on to that pick. Mm-hmm. We kind of knew the order. Even Marvin Harrison, I felt like we knew going forward to Arizona. I felt like we knew how the start of the draft was going to play out. Now, again, maybe Thursday holds serve like that, but I'm excited, man. I know it doesn't have necessarily the star names going in that some people said last year's draft would or maybe next year's draft will. It's also an inaccurate science, so we have no clue what the hell we're talking about, and I can't wait for Thursday.
ESPN has a really cool draft simulator that you can go to their website and kind of play around with. So you click a team, and then you simulate the draft and you see what
where
the
they're
computer,
going.
Yeah, what they
who's your
to
team
going to
take, yes. And where are they going in the first round?
Yes.
Thursday. It's NFL draft week, everybody. Congratulations. We finally made it. We get to talk about football this week,
it's
and
back.
I missed it.
Yes.
It's great to have it back in our lives.
How about
and
that?
Thursday is going to be a blast. Swag's going to wear a suit into the show on Thursday, be the commissioner.
Is he still doing that?
Come on, bring the velvet suit out on Thursday for the YouTube.
I mean, we know you liked the attention of
Let's get classed up a little bit.
We'll see. We'll see.
Oh, you really sold that one.
That's very exciting.
We'll Thursday's tough because I have to bolt. I'm very glad we have a day game.
Wear the suit to the day game.
You look ridiculous.
Come on. It's only going to be 74. It's not that hot.
Welcome into the ballpark.
The velvet bug. Yeah.
I might.
Feel up on
you
the
know what? I can go springtime casual Hamptons look for you. I will wear shorts. I have a sport coat that goes with shorts.
Boat shoes.
Have
I want
a 2-for-1 hot dog deal. You can find them at the concessions. That's
right. We got a STEM day for the hops on Thursday, so all the school kids are coming out.
What would your old-timey voice sound like?
Sound a lot like Brockmeyer.
Can I hear it?
No.
Thank you.
I don't have it this morning.
Thank you for playing along.
Were you too nervous there? You kind of
just
chicken
no,
out.
I got
thought about it. Contemplated it for a second.
You can't talk like this. You raise your voice.
Hello, welcome to the pop.
No, but you have to. You have
Jackie
to.
Jackie Robinson's on the lineup today.
Exactly. Okay. There we go.
His nickname is Speedy for how fast he runs the bases.
You can't just do one of those?
No, I got to get into character.
You got to get ready. It takes time, all right? You can't just do it on a whim.
No.
You can't just do it on a flash. What the hell's the matter with you? Let's close it up. Hey, nice
I'm
little...
a method actor. What do you want?
This popcorn's tasty.
It's the Daniel Day-Lewis of impersonations, all right? You got to be in the moment. You got to be in the thing. You got to get off the cuff. What are you, Larry David?
Don't
over there?
Call me Jason from now on. What do I call you? Curly.
Curly.
My name's Curly. Welcome to the ballpark.
Curly. Will we get a good night of NBA playoffs and a quick cup check? We'll close it up next on The Fan. All right, something I want to do over the next handful of weeks, very similar to our old Dos Minutos segment, award-winning Dos Minutos.
Old friend of the show, that Dos.
Old friend of the program. A little bit of a cup check. Now, I don't know if we need like a sound effect, like somebody hitting a cup. Do you see Jordan Spieth, by the way, at the Masters? Nut mega guy?
I did see that, yeah.
Walking through. He had to have known him, I'm assuming.
Well, duh.
He was given like high fives and then just bottom of the putter gave him a bang. Hey, just making sure you're there. Hello. So a little bit of a cup check. Tonight we get a couple of game twos in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Tell me about it, Melrose.
Dude, the weekend sucked. The weekend sucked. We can all acknowledge it, admit it.
What's the best series?
The best opening round series?
Maybe tonight, Kings Oilers.
Okay. Yeah.
It should be the Stars and Avalanche.
The Battle of Gretzky.
But Dallas is missing two of their best players.
Yes, it is, Blue Line Brand and the Battle of Gretzky.
That's what some are saying. In
I'm very excited about my Toronto Maple Leafs winning game one in blowout fashion.
Stop that. That's my team.
Okay, I won't
take the Battle of Ontario.
I will say,
a lot of fights in that one.
One thing that I'm excited to watch, if you want to watch tonight, one, you get Ovechkin back in the playoffs.
Yep.
4 o'clock, that's the first game of tonight. They're about taking time. Montreal sneaked in, last spot in.
Yep.
You get Ovechkin breaking the record, and he's going into the playoffs. Game one tonight in D.C. That's at 4. The atmospheres in Winnipeg are can't-miss television.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
And we should publicly call out TNT for not spending money to send their broadcasters to game one of that series.
No,
that is a laughably bad look.
Yeah.
It's the if you want to tell me on a Tuesday night and, you know, whatever, you don't want to send somebody to Ottawa, all right, fine. It's a damn it's a Stanley Cup playoffs. That's a low-rent, embarrassing look for TNT.
Mean their studio show? Or?
No, they didn't have the broadcasters for the Winnipeg game one. They were in Atlanta calling the game in the TNT studios. That's embarrassing. But the Winnipeg atmosphere should be great. Will the commentators be there? It's an ESPN game tonight, so I'm assuming they will be. Watch that. You did get Dallas rolling game one. Colorado rolling game one. And game two is tonight, and then you get Edmonton and LA starting their series. So two game ones. Mm. Winnipeg and Colorado are up 1-0. You get game one in Edmonton and LA, and between Montreal and Washington. There is your cup check for this evening. In terms of the NBA playoffs, not bad tonight. Not bad.
Oh, the two best games from the weekend.
Two best games from the weekend. We get game twos. You get Detroit on the road in New York. Game two, 6.5 is your line for game two tonight. That was a back-and-forth game. New York ran away with it in the fourth quarter, went on a long run. They ended up covering the spread. And then you get Denver and L.A. L.A. is a road favorite in game two tonight after losing game one. They're a 1.5-point favorite.
Yeah, and I'm hammering the Clippers. I think what happened in game one between those two teams is not something that I'd feel overly confident about translating again. I give my respect to Jokic. That's why I think the series goes 6 or longer. I love the Clippers tonight. I think Kawhi plays better. I think Zubac can play even a little better. And I think James Harden, look, you start out strong. You kind of finish a little duddish. You let Westbrook tip the ball off your finger. Shore that up a little bit. I like the adjustments. I think the Clippers win game two.
Okay. I think just based on principle, if you're going to give me what's the money line for Denver?
I can't be that
plus 110 100? Or something, plus 100.
If it is.
Oh, the money line's minus 102.
Yeah, see, it's both minus.
Okay, that's stupid.
You might as well take the money line, though. The points are nothing.
Yeah, see, I get the point.
I'd more take a run at Pistons plus 210.
Money line in New York tonight? All right.
I just think the Knicks are going to get in that series in 5, but there'll be some good games.
I hope we get entertaining games tonight. The weekend in the Stanley Cup playoffs sucked. NBA was a couple of good games. These two and everything else kind of sucked out of the weekend. Let's get some good games tonight, man.
That's Monday all night. We asked for.
Give me entertaining, exciting games. I'll be dual screening everything all evening. It's going to be a blast. That will do it for us. If you missed the show, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080thefan. We went to Minnesota for the Daily Ticker for a thought on the T-Wolves in their 1-0 series lead. They don't play game two until tomorrow. But good stuff from Minnesota on the Daily Ticker. Thanks so much for being a part of our Monday. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.